Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, Aaron Rodgers with some mixed messaging about his future as a Green Bay Packer. DK Metcalf dropping a bomb to Brandon, telling him defenses had started to figure out what Seattle was doing. And Nick rolling out a fresh edition of his NBA player pyramid in just 30 minutes. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside the aforementioned Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, give us a spoiler. Give us one spoiler from the pyramid. What you got?
Oh, LeBron's at the top. LeBron's at the top.
Oh, you kidding me? LeBron will stay
at the top.
No idea.
That's not a spoiler.
All right.
Let's get out of here. Beat it. A little bit.
We'll get to all that NBA goodness in a second, but let's start with the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. Super Bowl 55 in the quarterback matchup of quarterback matchups. Patrick Mahomes, who won it last year, versus Tom Brady, who won it the year before. Like almost all the other years on top of that as well. A lot at stake here. Mahomes can join Brady as the only quarterbacks to win two titles in their first four seasons. But even more than that is the whole going to Disney World thing. So we got a lot to discuss. Nick, what do you think? Mahomes will ever be able to catch Brady as the GOAT if he loses to him in the Super Bowl?
Oh, what a great question, Jenna Wolf. So you don't want to say evers or nevers in sports, especially when guys such as Tom Brady are rewriting the rules on how long people can play. But from a narrative perspective and from a logistical perspective, I do believe it becomes damn near impossible for Mahomes to ever scale the Brady Mountain if he loses a week from Sunday.
Really?
If he loses a week from Sunday, it'll be assuredly the final time they ever play. They won't play in the regular season again for 4 years. And the only way they could play in the postseason is if these same two teams make the Super Bowl. Brady will have won the career series 3-2. Brady, more importantly, would have won the playoff career series 2-0. And he would have 7 rings instead of 6. And Mahomes would, of course, still be sitting at 1. Because of all that, and because the narrative would be, man, they played twice in the playoffs. Brady got the better of him both times. Even though the first time they met in the playoffs, Mahomes was brilliant. 3 touchdowns, no picks, a 117 rating. And Brady was not. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, should have been 3 on the D Ford offsides, and a 77 rating. That won't matter. So, the D Ford offsides, Wilds can laugh all he wants. That's one of his many fraudulent Super Bowl rings, thanks to that. A little quarter centimeter offsides. If it was JPP lining up, he'd have been safe. But it doesn't matter. So, I do think Mahomes has to win this game, Brandon, because then it's 6-2. Then he has the career head-to-head record. They're split in the playoffs, but Mahomes would have beaten him in a Super Bowl versus an AFC title game. So, if we're looking out 15, 20 years, I think if Mahomes wants to be considered the greatest quarterback ever, he's got to win Sunday.
Yeah, I love this discussion because this is not supposed to happen, Nick. Think about this. This is LeBron James and Michael Jordan on the biggest stage. This is the matchup we all wanted to see. If Patrick Mahomes lose this game, it's damn near impossible for him to catch Tom Brady. But if he win it, there's a lot we can talk about here, but there's also a lot to consider. Major things that if he wins this game. Injury. The National Football League has a 100% injury rate. What does that mean? That means every guy that enters the NFL will potentially get injured somehow, some way. Tom Brady, 2008, went down with an ACL injury. Think about that. Not every guy comes back from these major injuries. Now, medicine is better. Technology is better. So guys are going to play longer. Guys are going to recover faster. But it's something that we all need to consider. The biggest opponent to each player in the National Football League is the injury rate. Number two, another thing that we need to consider. Throw it up there. Coaching. Tom Brady had Bill Belichick for 20 years. He was in the same system. The worst thing you can do to any quarterback is change up the coaching, change up the system, change up the language. Like, these guys are creatures of habits. Andy Reid, Nick, I'm sorry. If Andy Reid, sitting at 62, if he goes and wins a Super Bowl, then he wins another, I'm sorry, but he's not going to last longer than 5-10 more years. So this is going to be a major issue and a major concern. And the last thing is team. There's this myth out there, all right, there's this narrative that Tom Brady didn't have all the talent in the world, right? Like, we talked about that the last 3 or 4 years. That's a lie. Tom Brady was always surrounded by talent. Now, was there moments in seasons or maybe a year or two where they were depleted at the wide receiver position? Absolutely. But one thing for sure, you always got to protect the quarterback, and he always was standing upright, always had protection, and that defense always was a bend but don't break defense. So when you think about this, these are things to consider when we have this discussion. It's a great discussion because this is the matchup we wanted to see between Michael Jordan, or we would like to see between Michael Jordan and LeBron James on the biggest stage. 20 years from now, we will be debating Michael Jordan and LeBron, but we won't be debating this if Mahomes wins this game and continues on his path of just lights out play.
Okay, so Nick, I'm going to push back on you and I'm going to give you hope. I think the door is shut on Mahomes trying to reach Brady's GOAT status if it's a classic shootout. Mm. If it's a shootout or a game like we saw with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, I think it's like, all right, Brady's the GOAT. But Brady has been involved in several Super Bowls that weren't shootouts. The first Super Bowl, he threw for 145 yards, and Vinatieri won it. And then Vinatieri won the next one. And then Pete Carroll doesn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and Malcolm Butler picks it off. And then we had the lowest Super Bowl ever, scoring Super Bowl ever. It's 13-3. And as you know, everybody knows Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman had a big game, 10 catches, 140 yards. So unless it's a shootout, Hall of Famer. Did I not say Hall of Famer? I'm sorry. Hall of Famer Julian Edelman.
No, you didn't.
Also the Super Bowl MVP. Sometimes all the athletes.
You don't have to say it.
Get confused. Sorry. But if it is a weird Super Bowl or anything other than a pure shootout, I feel like Mahomes could lose the game and the Chiefs could lose the game and be like, all right, Mahomes played great. The door is not closed on the GOAT conversation.
Yeah, I would think that if they were up against the Packers. But it's not that just that Mahomes wouldn't get the win. It's that Brady gets to 7. And I think there is a universe that exists that in 2018, the Patriots don't get the coin toss. And the Chiefs win that Super Bowl. And then if they win this one, Mahomes has never lost in the playoffs, has 3 rings, and Brady only has 5. And in that universe, I think you could argue Mahomes is already the greatest quarterback ever. But that's not what happened in 2018. And this year, if it gets to 7-1, it is just such, I think that mountain becomes unscalable.
Yeah.
But if Mahomes does win it, the GOAT conversation is a 5, 10, 15-year horizon. Here is a 10-day horizon. Patrick Mahomes could be 10 days away from the greatest start to any career for any team, sport, athlete ever. Wayne Gretzky won eight straight MVPs, but didn't win a championship for 5 years. Kareem won an MVP and one championship, but didn't win another championship for the better part of a decade. Jim Brown won two MVPs in his first two seasons, but didn't win a championship for 8 years. If Mahomes in his first 4 years in the league is 7-1 in the postseason, has two championships, has a league MVP, has one or two Super Bowl MVPs, it is the greatest start to a career for any team sport athlete ever. He does have that on the line this Sunday, Jenna.
All right. Took me 5 years to win my first Emmy. Take a turn. Talk some Seahawks. Ooh, I've only won one. We're now hearing why that offense, which started the season cooking, fell apart down the stretch. No, I'm my own self-deprecated team. We're back after this. Drop the clipboard. Boom.
Hey, First Things First listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
All right, it seems like eons ago, as we move on, that Russell Wilson was in the running for that MVP, the one that, you know, Aaron Rodgers already has a speech written for. His star receiver, DK Metcalf, sat down with Brandon on the I Am Athlete podcast, talked about, among other things, Seattle for the season, and it flamed out down the stretch. Take a listen to why DK thinks that was the case.
What happened to the Seattle Seahawks, bro?
I get teams just started to figure us out.
Yeah.
We've been running deep past ever since Pete got there. It's play action, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, go deep. Team just said, we just not going to let y'all go deep, so.
Start taking that away, playing number two.
They figured us out, he said. Well, late last night, it was reported the Seahawks hired Rams pass game coordinator Shane Waldron as their new offensive coordinator. And so with that, Brandon, let me start with you. What changes you think the Seahawks have to make to be less predictable next season?
Well, first, Jenna, that was my first time ever meeting DK in person. And this dude is huge. I can see why he's so dominant on the field, because he probably just imposes his will on each and every play. I thought it was revealing. No, I wouldn't say revealing. I think it was more validating for him to say what he said, because everybody knows that. Like, everybody knows what the Seattle Seahawks does, and this is why I wanted to talk about this a couple weeks ago. Like, Pete Carroll was in an interesting space. He could have potentially botched this whole Russell Wilson era. So when he made this decision to bring on his coach Shane Waldron, the passing game coordinator, I thought it was the best of both worlds, because everybody knows what they're doing. They're so predictable, and when it comes down to the Rams and what they do, you don't know. So to answer your question, what do they need to do? Number one, they need to shore up the offensive line. That's number one. You have a phenomenal quarterback that can get the job done, but if he's on his back, then you have no chance. But now let's get into this hire. Shane Waldron, and, you know, I'm probably botching his name. I never really heard of the guy, but I'm sure he's pretty good. The reason why I like this is because you get, you know, Pete gets what he wants. Russell Wilson gets what he wants. Pete wants to run the ball on first, second, and third down. That's not going to be the winning recipe moving forward. But when you look at the Rams and break down what they've done when they've been successful and playing at an extremely high level, they've ran the ball. They disguised their passing game like, oh, yeah, we're a team to throw it around. No, they're not. Go back to 2018 when they went to the Super Bowl. I think they led the league in rushing. This year, they were on track to be one of the best rushing teams until they start imploding towards the end. This is a team that relies heavily on the run game, so you get that. And Russell Wilson is a guy that wants to get outside the pocket. This offense that the Rams have, and what Shane is probably going to bring over, the run game and passing game marries. They're going to get Russell Wilson out the pocket. He'll be able to go bombs away, but they also have some RPOs. They have a quick game. They have screen game. They have everything you want. So when you look at what DK said, Nick, this is why it's so validating, because everybody knew what they were going to do. Run the ball and then take shots. And now you can't do that anymore. So I absolutely like this. If Pete Carroll gets out the way and let this guy work.
Well, that's a big if. Listen, I can educate the audience and you a little bit on Shane Waldron. Here's all you need to know about him. He knows Sean McVay, so he gets a big job in the NFL. It's the single best way to the best way to get a job in the NFL is to have your father be someone important. The second best way is to at some point have a relationship with Sean McVay. Then you get the next big job. And by the way, Sean McVay's a really bright guy. I like Sean McVay. So maybe, you know, the osmosis of being around him, he's learned some things. But this is about Pete Carroll. And this is about how Pete Carroll thinks you are supposed to win football games, which is don't take chances, run the ball, have it close, win it in the fourth quarter, which is absolutely how you're supposed to win football games if you're the 0-8 Bears with Rex Grossman as your quarterback and a great defense, but not if you're the 2021 Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson as your quarterback. And so I think that you are going to continue to have, Wilds, some frustrated offensive players unless Pete Carroll has a massive change of heart that I don't think is coming. And I don't think this hire is a sign that it's coming, because Brandon's right. The Rams are run first. They are a team that just wants to make sure the quarterback doesn't make a big mistake, because they are very limited at quarterback and they have a great defense. And a couple years ago when Goff was playing well, it was because Gurley was the offensive player of the year. So I don't know that this is going to be the type of stylistic shift, Wilds, that's going to make DK Metcalf come on Brandon's podcast a year from now and say, there you go. That's the change I needed. I'm not optimistic about that.
So, Brandon, was your takeaway from your interview with DK Metcalf that he was happy with everything, that he was optimistic about the future, or do you think that it was more frustration overall with the way that Seattle's offensive philosophy is working?
Yeah, I think everybody in that building, even Pete Carroll, is frustrated and trying to figure it out. You have Pete Carroll, like Nick said, is stuck in his ways, and then you have players like DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, who's sitting like, what are we going to do next? We know we have everything we need in this locker room. So when you look at this situation and you have Shane, who is the passing game coordinator from the Rams, I think I like their offense. I like their approach. And then they have Coach Mike Mularkey, who I was with the New York Giants and in Seattle. He's phenomenal. They love him in the run game. So that's probably going to be their run game coordinator, even if they don't give him the title. But when I was there, he was implementing our entire run game. And the run game was phenomenal. Absolutely love it. So now you bring these two together and it makes sense for DK Metcalf. Right now, if I had an opportunity to sit down with DK Metcalf again, I would tell him, this is exactly what you want. You want a coach like this. You want a philosophy like this where they're going to make the team put 8 men in a box to stop the run. Because now what you get as a top wide receiver, dog receiver, you get one-on-one matchups. I wanted to play with Adrian Peterson. I wanted to be in a run-first offense that made sense, that was smart, that was sophisticated, knowing that, okay, we got DK Metcalf on the backside on first down. We want to run the ball, but I like this matchup better because he's one-on-one. So let's give him the opportunity because he gives us the best opportunity to win a game. So if they do a good job with DK Metcalf at the X, backside of the field, when it's one-on-one, taking advantage of this matchup, this offense could be extremely lethal, Nick and Jenna.
Yep, certainly makes sense when you put it that way. All right, let's take a little pause. Hit the NBA now. Time for Nick's NBA medals. Bradley Beal, going for 33 last night, but the Wizards getting beat up by the Rockets. No revenge for us. No medal for Beal. No sleep till Brooklyn. So, Nick, who did get a medal last night?
Yeah, sorry, Brad, but you're averaging 34 and a half a night, so it was actually an off night, and you lost, so you can't get a medal. You know who can? First time on the medal stand. Boogie!
Oh, nice.
Boogie had a great game over the weekend with a 28 and 17. Follows it up last night. 19 points, 11 rebounds, 5 steals. You might say, Nick, that's a good game. So medals were to be had. Boogie Cousins gets a bronze medal. Good to see Boogie. Back-to-back good games for the first time in forever. Silver medalist time. Rudy Gobert, 18, 19, 4 blocks in a win over the Knicks. The Stifle Tower, a polarizing NBA player. I didn't count his screen assists last night, Jazz fans, but I'm sure he had 1,000 of them, that fake stat you guys created for him. But hey, 18, 19, and 4 for Rudy Gobert. He gets a silver medal. Gold medalist, Trae Young. Trae Young wearing those awesome jerseys, 38 and 5. They get a win over the, now, to be fair, the absolutely decimated Clippers. The Clippers without Paul George, without Kawhi, without Patrick Beverley. But a win's a win. 38 and 5 for Trae Young. Brandon, there are your medalists. Boogie, Rudy, and Trae Young. Bronze, silver, gold.
Hey, absolutely love this. Finally, you got it right. You did a good job, Brett. And then the only thing I would say is Bradley Beal and John Wall, they put on a show last night when you think about skills. If you're a guy that likes to control the ball, likes to shoot the ball, go back and watch that. They did a great job of showing how skillful they are, Nick.
You got Brandon's stamp of approval. I feel like Wiles has somebody that missed the cut, though. Wiles?
This was from yesterday because there weren't a lot of games and we had to put the egregious, violent hit from SGA on Mr. Trent. Hopefully he's okay. But this is Klay Thompson, still getting it done. This is when you know someone really loves basketball. When you're out there getting work in and doing a little Globetrotter reaction in your walking boot. So best of luck to Klay. It's great to see you, even though you got a walking boot and a blazer on.
Love it. Good to see Klay.
Hey, coming up. And we all know Nick's got LeBron on top of his NBA player pyramid, but some of the other players might surprise
you.
We'll have that for you next. First things first. In fact, all the other players with the old question mark.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
On Saturday, Caleb Plant, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in boxing, putting his perfect record and super middleweight title on the line against Caleb Truax. Saturday, 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Oh, guess what? It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, which means it's time for Nick's new NBA player pyramid. Some call this putting this together work, not for Nick. It's like a list, your favorite thing wrapped in a triangle, your favorite shape. You love this, Nick.
Listen, you're right about a lot of that, but it is a lot of work. And unfortunately,
never mind.
From the last time we had the pyramid, five people have been removed from the pyramid. Five people have been added to the pyramid. Unveil the latest pyramid if we can, please. We go 8 levels deep.
Here we go.
I tried to do an 18-level pyramid. They told me not to. Look in the far right corner. Jeremy Grant, Clint Capella, added to the pyramid. Look on that bottom row. Zach LaVine, he's on the pyramid. What up, Zach? Good for you. That also, by the way, means Russell Westbrook off the pyramid entirely, along with Clay, wow. Pascal Siakam, De'Aaron Fox, and Kyle Lowry. All right, next level. Oh, is that Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown, welcome to the pyramid, along with Domantas Sabonis. Some argued Sabonis should be higher. Domantas Sabonis, welcome to the pyramid. You've earned it. Next level, Jamal Murray, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie moved up in the pyramid. Despite the sabbatical, he's been so brilliant offensively, he moves up. Jason Tatum, Zion, stay where they were. Jimmy Butler, we had to move you down a touch. That finals glow is wearing off just a bit. All right, now let's zoom in. Top five rows of the pyramid. James Harden.
Here we go.
I'm sorry to tell you, you've been dinged a bit. You have moved down. Paul George, on the other hand, you have moved up a bit on the pyramid. Bradley Beal, you have moved up on the pyramid. CP3 and Mitchell stay the same. Steph Kawhi, oh my goodness gracious. Is that Anthony Davis on the fourth row? That's Anthony Davis on the fourth row. Anthony Davis, you have been moved down. I'm sorry to tell you. Also, I don't know if you noticed, the other person that has moved down there is, I think, was it Steph or Kawhi? Oh, Kawhi also moved down because Jokic and Embiid. Got to move them up. Jokic and Embiid, two leading MVP candidates surrounding the reigning MVP. And then the top two rows stay as static as they were. KD and Luka. Second and third best players in the league. And then the king stay the king, LeBron James. So there's your pyramid. They told us we have a whole segment here. I don't know why, because how long is it going to take Brandon Wilds and Jenna to say, that's the most beautiful pyramid I've ever seen, this side of the Sphinx? So I don't know. But Brandon, there it is. Your pyramid.
I'll try to be quick here since you think you nailed this one. I want to start with AD. I salute you, Nick. Phenomenal job. This is hard. We all know you love LeBron James. We all know you believe in LeBron James. You believe LeBron James is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, right now over MJ. Mm-hmm. So for you to take his wingman, his Robin, and move him down the tier says a lot about you. A lot of integrity. I know that was hard. Because this is a guy that is inconsistent. This is a guy that's supposed to help LeBron James surpass Michael Jordan. This is a guy that we put on a pedestal in the bubble and said, oh, he's elevated to the next level. But when you turn on the film and you watch the games this year, man, he's 29th in scoring. He's horrible from the free throw line. He's a big guy. You got to be able to get to the free throw line and nail those shots. That's part of your game. That's why we got you. And he's not playing consistent basketball right now, and it's alarming. This is a dude that's supposed to be right there with Kevin Durant and Luka, but he's not. So I salute you for bringing him down a couple tiers. The only thing I have left, Joel Embiid. Nick, you moved him up one tier, but you should have moved him up two tiers. And the reason why is because he's the front runner to be the MVP this year. I know the last week and a half, LeBron has been turning it on and taking his game to a whole nother level, dropping 40-something on the Cavs. I get it. I understand. Shooting from the logo, hook shots, fadeaway three-pointers, fadeaways, shots from the corner. I get all of that. But right now, Mr. Embiid is the clear-cut MVP, and we have to approach it that way. He's averaging almost 28 points. He's shooting 40% from the three-point line. He's damn near 10 feet tall, okay? Then he's also averaging almost 60% from mid-range. So for that reason, I felt like you should have moved him up two tiers, right, Nick? That's all I got. Everything else is good.
So real quick, can we show the top of the pyramid again alongside me and Brandon? Because, pyramid integrity, it's one of the foundational pieces of the show. If you want me move Joel Embiid up, you must tell me who am I moving down. You want Durant moved down? Who do you want moved down? There's only three spots above him. Who's moving down?
You're putting me in a spot. And I was actually going to ask you to be Luka's godson. I mean, goddad. But Luka down. Godfather. Move Luka down.
Oh!
Godfather.
Oh, you know what?
Move Luka down. Luka down.
I do want to say there was some consideration there. The team isn't winning to the level we thought they would. The Mavs, Luka's defense, has not drastically improved, and his three-point shooting is still mediocre at best, but he's still averaging damn near 30, 10, and 10, and he's been the engine running that team. But that was the closest one. Embiid and Luka, if it was numbered, that would be 3 and 4. So that is the closest one. So your eyes on it. You're right there. Kevin Wilds, perfection.
Okay, buddy.
Am I right?
Look, you do an excellent job on the pyramid, and along with take integrity, foundations of the show. And it's that reason why I think you were a little hesitant to put one Jaylen Brown too high up in the pyramid. But I'm going to make the argument that he deserves to be far higher than you have him right now. He is averaging the seventh most points in the league. He's averaging 27 points a game. And that is rare air because he's an efficient scorer, too. He's right up there with 27 points on 50% shooting, 40% from three. There's only four people. Oh, Brandon's Nets and the leading MVP go-getter, if you had it right now, Joel Embiid. Number two, legend cosign. It's not just your old buddy Kevin Wilds that thinks he's playing great. The legend of all legends, Bill Russell, said, hey, keep up the good work. This was in response to a historic game, Nick, where Jaylen Brown scored 33 points, shout out to Larry Bird, in 19 minutes, set the record. Well, Kevin, okay, you got, you're saying it, Bill Russell saying it. How about another legend? Reason number three is legend co-signed part two. Magic Johnson, not only a great player, but also a great tweeter, said, you know what? Jaylen Brown isn't just reaching superstar status. Jaylen Brown's not just should be on your all-star ballot. Jaylen Brown should be on your MVP ballot, Nick. And I know he's sort of come out of nowhere, and we've seen this, him take step, huge leap. But, buddy, you're an analytics guy. You see how this guy is playing. You got to be ready to move him up. Go ahead. What say you, Nicholas, about one Jaylen Brown?
I mean, MVP. I love it, Wilds. I love it.
Okay, so... He's not an MVP candidate. We know that. Let's calm down a bit with respect to Magic Johnson. He used to not be on the pyramid. He now is on the pyramid. So I do think I'm giving him respect. My question to you, Kevin Wilds, is this. Is he the best player on his team? Is he the best player on his team?
Be careful.
I don't know. Why are you certainly making an argument? But I'm not. That's not my job to decide. And you don't try to start a war between Celtics. You can have two great players on the same team. Should they be on the same tier? Sure. And Jenna, here's the other thing of why Nick is keeping Jaylen Brown down. Danny Ainge said, I'm not trading Jaylen Brown for James Harden. Danny Ainge, in the upset of the year, for the first time in his career, might be right on this one. He saw something in Jaylen Brown that not trading for James Harden. He might be right. It's not just because he's got a nice contract. He's young. He's playing phenomenal on the court, too. So shout out to Danny Ainge. Big win, Jenna.
If you want to make the argument that I should flip Jaylen Brown with Jimmy Butler based on this season alone, that would be a good argument. I am building in somewhat, and I know you love Jimmy, like he had some built-in cushion from the playoff run. But Jaylen Brown went from off Murray as well. This year alone, Jaylen Brown's probably been a tick better than Jamal Murray. But again, I am giving him some playoff run credit. But when we unveil the next pyramid, and I don't have the date in front of me, I think it's 2 weeks from today. But if Jaylen keeps this up, he will rise. I do want to make one other point. Brandon, the single greatest sports radio caller of all time, Alan White Plains, texted me personally during your segment and said, Brandon Marshall is 100% right. Luka Doncic can't guard a statue. Move Joel Embiid up. So you have the Alan White Plains co-sign, which resonates a lot with me. Wow. So I do want to let you know it's just me. We're considering it.
Can I put in a request for a pyramid of all-time Celtics greats from 1987? Is that, let's think about it.
Yeah, Danny Ainge still wouldn't make it, Jenna.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Aaron Rodgers with the worst thing you can give someone when you're in a relationship. Mixed messages. Trust me, I'm the queen of them. That's next. First things first.
Back here talking Aaron Rodgers and relationships. One of those two things I know a lot about. Actually, I know a lot about relationships too. So shortly after the Packers lost the NFC title game, Rodgers said his future is a beautiful mystery. Remember that? Well, in case you didn't, take a listen and see how he now pivoted yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
Now, obviously after the season that I had and you know, potentially win an MVP, and you know, we obviously made it to another good run, I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
I'm in, I'm out, I like you, I don't like you, I want to stay, I want to leave. Hey, a couple mixed messages there. Oh, former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook is joining us. Brian, good morning to you. Glad you're here because we want to know what you make of Aaron Rodgers' mixed messages.
Well, good morning, Jenna. And if you would ask my wife, she would say that I'm the king of mixed messages. But in this case, I don't think that this is a mixed message at all. I think this was two things. Number one, it was Aaron Rodgers, who was the MVP of the league, taking a shot at the organization and basically saying, hey, you guys drafted a quarterback last year, and look what I just did. I just had an MVP season. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is, I think this is a player after an emotional game, losing an emotional game, NFC Championship game, and he was basically saying he was being open, he was being candid, and he was talking from the heart. And I remember the last, you know, last 3 or 4 years of my career, and of course, I'm not in the GOAT conversation where Aaron Rodgers certainly is, but, you know, my thought was always, I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm under contract, but I don't know what's going to happen. The team may move on. There's certainly going to be different players on this team. And there was always a thought that things may not go the way that I want them to. And I think this is all that we're seeing from Aaron Rodgers. And lastly, I think we have to consider this. Aaron Rodgers was standing across the field for Tom Brady, a Tom Brady that was in New England for 20 years, that nobody thought would ever leave, that everyone felt he would end his career in New England because of all the success he's had. But now Tom Brady has moved on 21st season to go to Tampa Bay and has had enormous success, just beat me on our home field. You have to be crazy to think that Aaron Rodgers is not saying to myself, what if I was to go to another team and maybe have a different type of success that I haven't been able to have here in Green Bay? I think Aaron Rodgers was feeling all those emotions. And because of that, that's why a lot of people think it's mixed signal.
Emotions, mixed signals, yeah, all this other relationships. Let's stay right there then, Jenna. If that's where you want to go, let's stay right there. But let's take it back to high school. Let's go to that puppy love. Remember being in high school, B, Nick, Jenna, Wilds, and that was that one person that you wanted, and you're like, oh, man, that's
Mike
the girl.
DiBianco.
I'm really digging this girl. And then all of a sudden, you get that girl. And everything's good. Everything's working out until it's not. And when does it not work out? When everybody get in your business. Samantha and Johnny knows what's going on. And then you got Johnny like, bro, you're the star of the team. Why are you dating just one girl? Why don't you just go out, look at all these other cheerleaders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got Samantha like, girl, why are you sticking with him? He just read books.
Like
he just do that.
Going.
He's boring. And then what happens is you just start getting all these other narratives, and then everybody got these other thoughts. So what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now is saying, you know what? It's better to do business quietly. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's looking at relationships from the past. He's going back to his high school days and said, man, when Samantha and Johnny got into it, it got a little messy.
Aaron,
so now what
Samantha.
I need to do is cut the noise. I started all this noise, and now what I need to do is kind of erase all of that. That's what's happening, Nick.
Yeah, but so okay, I will quickly continue the tortured analogy, but bring it to somewhat more modern times. You know how he started the noise? He changed his relationship status on Facebook from married to it's complicated. and then immediately switched it back to married and is like, nothing to see here, boys. Right. No, no, no. I don't know why. Why is everyone asking me about my marriage? It's fine. It's great. I mean, I could get struck by lightning, but aside from that, it's fine. It's like, bro, you did this. And he, I watched this whole interview with Pat. And I don't know who the cigar-smoking fella is with him, but I watched it with
Hawk.
Those guys.
That's
in
the Hawk.
The Hawk. Okay, with Pat and the Hawk. And
no, it's AJ
Aaron
Hawk.
Says, oh, that's AJ Hawk? Oh, I didn't know that was AJ Hawk.
I didn't know that was AJ Hawk.
All right, thank you. Cigar. So regardless, he mentions Aaron Jones, Corey Linsley, and Mercedes Lewis. He's like, yeah, I don't know about their status. I don't know about Aaron's status. I don't know about Corey's status. Yeah, I think he calls Mercedes big dog, but he's talking about Mercedes Lewis. All of those guys have something in common. They're pending free agents. Their contracts have expired. Aaron Rodgers' contract has not expired, and it won't expire next year or the year after next. And so, Wilds, I think Aaron Rodgers started a small fire intentionally, because while he's under contract for the next 3 years, I think that he would like there to be more of a commitment from the team, because while they are not going to move on from him this offseason, there is no chance. Contractually, they could move on from him after next year. So I think this whole thing was to get the ball rolling on. You drafted Jordan Love. I want a new contract that would make it painful for you to move on from me, because he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Money move.
He says in this interview, he says Dirk and Kobe and guys who spent their whole careers with a team, that he wants that, that he's always wanted that. So to me, Rodgers got this conversation going on purpose with a means to an end. And I don't begrudge him that, but I don't think we can ignore that either.
I totally agree. And as a media member, I love it. I love confusion. I love opaqueness. I love like little Easter eggs in the car. I love it. But if Aaron Rodgers and I were friends, for example, and I was going to order some pizza for the party, and I asked Aaron Rodgers, like, Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to order some pizza. What do you want? And he's like, the future is a beautiful mystery. I'm like, totally agree, buddy, but I got to order it to pick it up. I got to plan for the future. And he said, well, you know, a lot of guys' future is uncertain, mine included. I'm like, totally agree again. But like, what do you want? Do you not want pizza? And he said, I don't think there's any reason why I wouldn't. And I'm like, totally okay, because you said you didn't want pizza. You keep on talking about the future. Buddy, just tell me pepperoni. Just say, you know what? Mushroom and pepperoni. That's what I want to hear. I, as a media member, I like it. But Brian, Aaron, just straight up say, like, you know what I want? A guaranteed contract like Tom Brady. You know what I want? Mm. I want to be in the draft room so you guys don't draft another quarterback for some reason. Mm. You know what I want? Sign these three guys, and you know what? I did some math, and here's what they're owed. Just give it to me straight, because as a media member, I enjoy the chaos of it, but I would think that it would just be a more straightforward line if he just placed his order directly.
But Kevin, I think you're absolutely right. And you're talking as a media member. And as a media member, I myself would love Aaron Rodgers to come out and say that. But as a teammate, I would want Aaron Rodgers to go to management and say, okay, listen, here's the deal. This is what I want. I want more money. I want you to sign these other guys. I don't want you to draft quarterbacks to try to replace me. I want you to draft players that can help me. That's what I would want as a teammate, because it keeps it out of the media. And who's to say that Aaron Rodgers is not going to have that conversation? If I'm the Green Bay Packers brass, I'm coming to Aaron Rodgers and saying simply, you were the MVP. Tell us how you want us to move. Do you want a little bit more money on your contract to make it, you know, closer to what all these top tier quarterbacks are getting? That'll help you? Cool. We can do that. Do you want to have a little bit more say of the players around you? Cool. We can do that as well. The only way that the Green Bay Packers stay relevant at this point, have Aaron Rodgers at the helm in the quarterback position. So if I'm the brass there in Green Bay, I'm saying whatever you want, I'm willing to accommodate so that we can help you stay here and be happy in Green Bay.
True.
Right. And B, it's probably the best option for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, obviously. And what does he need? He need to go in there and say, Mercedes Lewis, he's a dog. He's a guy that he's not going to catch 50 balls a year, but his presence and that and just his leadership does everything. And what he does in a run game is big. Aaron Jones, bring back Aaron Jones. And then obviously on the defensive side, can you give me some help? What they need is a honey badger, Nick. That's what they need on that side. Because you said it yesterday and you've been saying it. Aaron Rodgers had every opportunity to win that game and be in the Super Bowl. So they're not far off, but they just need to make the right moves this offseason and can't repeat what they did last offseason.
Aaron Rodgers, always a little bit dramatic with these things. All right, moving on. Can Tom Brady put an end to the GOAT debate with a Super Bowl win over Patrick Mahomes? We'll toss that around. On the other side, this is First Things First. I love all that relationship stuff.
The head of the table, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, and the final stop before their last man standing match for the Universal title at the Royal Rumble. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern on Fox.
And we are back talking Super Bowl 55 and the quarterback matchup for the ages. Patrick Mahomes, who won it last year, versus Tom Brady, who won it the year before, and then like almost every year before that. We got a lot at stake here. Mahomes can join Brady as the only quarterbacks to win two titles in their first four seasons. Also at stake, the whole who's going to Disney World thing. Short trip from Tampa. Not important now. Sure. Nick, you think Mahomes will ever be able to catch Brady as the GOAT if he loses to him in the Super Bowl?
I think in the eyes of the vast majority of sports fans, it'll be the end of the book, the end of the story, and it'll be the door will slam shut if it's 7-1. If it's 7 Super Bowls to 1, this is almost assuredly the last time they're ever going to play. Brady would then be 3-2 in their careers head-to-head. More importantly, 2-0 in the playoffs. And two of Brady's rings, he would have gone through Patrick to get him. 2 years ago, when Patrick soundly outplayed him in the AFC Championship game, but Brady won the coin toss, and Patrick never got the ball in overtime en route to Brady's and that scorching Patriot offense scoring 13 points in the Super Bowl for ring number 6. And then this year, if he beats him, and it's 7-1, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. Even if Patrick holds all the records and has all the eye test stuff, for Patrick to catch up. But if he does win this week, or a week from Sunday, he being Patrick, I think not only can he catch Brady, but I would argue he can make it a discussion very quickly. Because while we all know Brady, I don't think anyone's ever going to approach Brady's 10 Super Bowl appearances. And I think it's even if he wins this week, it's going to be hard for Patrick to catch Brady's 6 rings. What we do know is every playoff game the Chiefs have won since Mahomes has been there, he has not been a supporting actor. He hasn't been helped along by anyone. He has been the reason why. Even the game he got hurt in. They scored 22 points in that game. 19 were with him on the field. The 3 they scored without him, he got him to midfield, then got knocked out of the game. You can't say the same for Brady. I mentioned that one Super Bowl, the Seattle Super Bowl. People say, well, they were going to lose, but Malcolm Butler did that. The first Super Bowl, the story there was the holding that greatest show on turf to, what was it, 14 points, 17 points, whatever they did with the Rams. So I do think if Patrick wins a week from Sunday, Brandon, it starts to become a much more nuanced, not just count the rings discussion, but if it's 7-1, the count the rings component of it becomes so overwhelming, I think the discussion probably ends before it really starts.
Nick, we are about to get what we always wanted in basketball. LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. The biggest debate in all of sports. Who's the GOAT? And this is happening now, right before our eyes. Guys, y'all better appreciate this moment. You got Patrick Mahomes, who in year 2, we were talking about, could potentially be the greatest quarterback when it's all said and done because of his talent, because of how he threw the ball, his savviness. And now he's excelling and actually elevating his football IQ. He was on LeBron James show, all the shop, and he was like, guys, I wasn't reading defenses. I was just dropped back and slinging it. So you better appreciate this moment. If he doesn't win this game, Nick, I think it's going to be damn near impossible for him to catch Tom Brady to go. But let's say he does. There's still some things that we need to consider because there's some risks out there that some players just don't get past. Injury. The National Football League, it's 100% injury rating. What does that mean, Brandon? Well, that means when you come into the National Football League, you might be good, but eventually something's going to give. Something's going to hurt. You look at Tom Brady, 2008, he went down with an ACL. Now, I know medicine and technology is better today, so guys should recover faster. We're expecting guys to come back from Achilles. We're expecting guys to come back from ACLs. But this is a volatile sport. Tom Brady has done this for 20-plus years. So that's number one. Number two, coaching. Tom Brady had Bill Belichick, Nick, for 20 years. Unbelievable. And the reason why that's important is because this needs to be the quarterback's first language. A receiver, you can throw me in any offense. I'm able to adapt. I'm able to go run a slant, a comeback, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're a quarterback and you're able to be with one coach and one system year after year after year, that's where you become dangerous. That's what every team is trying to accomplish, is what Bill Belichick and Brady has accomplished and how they was able to stay together. So when you look at Coach Andy Reid at 62, Nick, I'm sorry to say this. I know you're a homer, brother, but two, 3 years go by and they win one or two more. Andy Reid is going to be somewhere in Martha's Vineyard hanging out, sipping.
He's going to coach forever.
So then what happens to this team?
No, he's coaching forever.
And Jenna, the last thing, number three, and we gotta keep this in consideration. I do think Patrick Mahomes' deal gives them the ability to be able to keep the band together, but it's team. There's this myth out there, Wilds, that... Oh, Tom Brady, he never had the talent around him. That's a lie. He always had good people around him. Now, there may have been seasons and parts of seasons where they may be depleted in certain areas, but he always had talent, Wilds. So we have to consider this if Mahomes wins this game. But 20 years from now, we will still be having this LeBron James, Michael Jordan debate, but this won't happen. This will not be debatable.
See, I think that Mahomes could lose, Nick, and still be in the running for the GOAT conversation. I think Tom Brady has played better in seasons that he lost the Super Bowl than in seasons that he won the Super Bowl. The undefeated season was still his best season. We didn't win. Even the darn helmet catch, I'm still haunted by. So the first Super Bowl that he got, he threw for 145 yards. Vinatieri kicked a field goal. Vinatieri kicked another field goal. Malcolm Butler saved us the Super Bowl, and then we had a defensive Super Bowl over the Rams. So I just don't think that we're talking about a boxing match or a 100-meter dash or competitive eating where it's like mano a mano. Now, if it's a shootout and it's like it's everybody goes for 300 yards and Tom Brady, maybe. But if it's a weird game, which Brady has been in a few of these weird Super Bowls, I think even if Mahomes comes out on the losing end and plays well, the door is still open for the GOAT conversation for him.
I think it will be for some, but I think for some people, as we learn, listen, there is no eye test. There is no statistical test that allows anyone to make the argument Michael's better than LeBron. But people make it because of 6-4. They make it purely based on rings. For some folks, the logic doesn't get past kindergarten level. And so if it's for those people, if it's 7-1, the door is closed. But I think the more interesting question, because I do believe, spoiler alert, the Chiefs are going to win. If Patrick Mahomes, in 3 years as a starter, year one, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, league MVP, loses a playoff game in overtime where he never gets to touch the ball. Year two, suffers a dislocated kneecap, comes back from it, wins the Super Bowl. Three, double-digit playoff comebacks, including down 10 to up 11 in 5 fourth-quarter minutes of the Super Bowl. And then year three, should have won MVP, goes 14-1 as a starter, beats Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And those are the 3 years of his career. I think we are then 1 year away, away from asking the question, Brandon, is he already
surpassed
Tom Brady?
I agree. And Wilds, I'll push back on you. The quarterback is the most important player on the field. Think about Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers takes off on third down, he has his John Elway moment. And we're not having this conversation around Aaron Rodgers.
I think he agrees. See you guys tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.